when the day of Pentecost was fully come, all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a voice from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, somebody say noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised, say it again, noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. I want to talk this Sunday morning about the proclamation after Pentecost. The proclamation after Pentecost. Lynn, before I forget, congratulations on your retirement as well. Amen? Amen. God bless you, Lynn. All of us still working. Honor you. Hate you a little bit, too. Which, amen. Amen. Got two checks. Got your check. All right. Three checks. Lynn said three, baby boy. Three, baby boy. There's somebody else check. We don't know about you getting part of. I'm going to leave that alone. It's cheaper to keep them. All right. Because Pentecost Sunday falls every second Sunday in this month, we always do our cap and gown Sunday on that Sunday as well. The calendar does not allow me to deal with Pentecost on the day of Pentecost the way that I would rather do it, but that's fine, because every day should be Pentecost Sunday, amen. And then after that, we had Father's Day and then Men's Day. But for the last couple of weeks, I've been meditating, and God has been depositing information in my spirit regarding Pentecost, and to deal with Pentecost a little bit more. I try to walk for an hour at least 4 days out of the week. And when I walk, I'm always listening to preaching when I'm exercising. Of course, because of today's technology, you don't have to have a cassette recorder. You don't have to buy DVDs from a church. Matter of fact, we don't even do DVDs no more after services. Everything is on your app or on YouTube, and so it's so easy to find my favorite preachers like Howard John Wesley from Alexandria, Virginia on YouTube, or T.D. Jakes out of Dallas on YouTube, or Ralph West out of Houston on YouTube. And those are the people that I listen to every morning, you know, when I walk. One of the things about YouTube and the internet, and for those of us old folk who are still on Facebook, it's amazing how if you have been Googling shoes or Googling polo, that advertisements for polo and for shoes or for purses that you've been searching for will show up in your Facebook feed. And you wonder sometimes, is someone spying on you? Well, no, there's something called cookies on the internet, and I ain't got enough time to go. They're not chocolate chip or peanut butter. But the internet kind of follows your IP trail and knows what you're interested in. And so if you have been searching for shoes or Nike or polo, Facebook has been tracing you, and that's why advertisement for what you have been searching for show up. Same way with YouTube. YouTube knows the preachers I like and the type of preachers that I like, so they will always put in my playlist other preachers who are similar, like a G.E. Patterson, like a Tillis Chapman. But this week, as I was playing and listening to my favorite preachers on YouTube, Charles Stanley. Who is the pastor of First Baptist Church in Atlanta, showed up in my playlist. I don't be listening to no Charles Stanley. Charles baptized Moses. He sit down when he preached. He sits down the entire time that he talks, rather. He's a prolific author, and there's nothing but the Holy Ghost, because the subject that he preached about was walking in the Holy Spirit. I've been wrestling with the Holy Spirit for about 3 weeks, and in my playlist jumps Charles Stanley, Walking in the Spirit. I ain't never listened to Charles Stanley on YouTube. But this same subject, Deacon Moore, jumped up in my playlist. And I began to listen a little bit to Charles Stanley, the prominent, prolific pastor of First Baptist Church in Atlanta. And his sermon entitled Walking in the Spirit. And the first thing he said was that you would be amazed that there are millions of Christians who never hear a sermon about the Holy Spirit. And then I had to ask my question, I don't know what church you've been going to, what church they have been going to, and I also knew something wrong because you called it the Holy Spirit, because, you know, the people I pastor in the churches I go to, we don't call it the Holy Spirit. We call it the Holy Ghost. The Spirit is too soft. We want the ghost. We want to catch the ghost because we know that ghosts move. That ghosts are always going from where they're coming and coming from their going, just like the Spirit of our Holy Spirit. We're like the Spirit of our Savior, that we believe in the Holy Ghost and that you can catch the ghost. Spirit is just a little bit too tame and too soft. But he says, you will be amazed that there's some persons who have never heard a sermon in some churches that are afraid to preach about the Holy Spirit. And he began to teach his congregation about the Holy Spirit, and he begins talking about the Trinity, how God manifests himself as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Some people are confused by that concept. There are even some denominations who do not believe in the Trinity. They only believe in Jesus. They don't believe that God is three parts, or that God is the Father, God is the Son, and God is the Holy Ghost, that there's just one by the name of Jesus. They don't believe in the Trinity. They don't believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Well, I guess they don't believe in water either, because water is created by a molecule, a combined molecule called H2O, two hydrogens and one oxygen. And they also know, if you know, that those two hydrogens and two oxygens can come in the form of water. They can come in the form of ice, but they also can come in the form of vapor, which the Holy Spirit is. It's still one molecule. It's still one compound, but it can manifest itself in different ways. And God can do the same thing. Matter of fact, you can't limit God to just being Jesus. He's got to have a creative vessel. He's got to have a son vessel, but he's also got to have a spiritual vessel. He comes as God the Father, God the Son, but he also comes as God the Holy Ghost. Now, God is a spirit. God is a spirit. He is a spirit, and that's why we must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, the Spirit of God is gender neutral. the Spirit, God. God is in his essence, in his essence, is gender neutral. In Genesis 1, 26, 27, it says, God said, let us make humankind in our image after our likeness. And then God created humankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God made man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God made male and he also made female. Now, the Spirit of God is really androgynous. God, the Godhead, is androgynous. Means it has no gender because it is God who created the men masculine, and it is God who made the feminine. It's God who made testosterone, and some of y'all too much estrogen. And the only way for God to understand the feminine is to have an understanding of what he wanted femininity to look like and act like. God, again, the Spirit is gender neutral. But when he manifests himself according to the word of God, he always comes in the masculine. But he understands the feminine just as much as he understands the masculine because he made both. But he always comes and descends in the form of a Father, a Son, and a Holy Ghost. And even in the text, it is referred to for the Holy Ghost as either he, and on maybe two occasions, itself. The Holy Ghost is described as a he. All right, I got to get a little closer. John 14, 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to you to remembrance. John 15, 26 says, King James Version, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. John, Luke 1, 35 says in Genesis again, 26, that again, he makes this image and he created humankind in his own image. He created male and female. He created them. He always comes again in the form of the masculine, and it is referred to as he, but even though it is formed in the masculine and created in the masculine and manifests himself in the masculine, he understands the feminine, because it also says that one of these days that the God is going to pull down his Spirit and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. That the Spirit can indwell in all of us. That's why the Spirit has to be in the house, because the Spirit will dwell in you and in me, in both the masculine and the feminine. And when he shows up in the masculine, he needs to be masculine. When he shows up in the feminine, he needs to be feminine. And so he can manifest himself in whatever way he wants to manifest himself. He does not quarantine his Spirit to just the feminine. Because you see, women are more likely to praise than men are. We've been trained to be statues. We don't really, a lot of us up in here, maybe five of y'all, lift up holy hands and really enjoy the praise and worship Spirit. I've never seen a man in here really run, shout, or lose their toupee. But David had more women than all y'all, all of us up in here combined. And the Bible says that the Spirit took David one day, that he danced out all, he probably was already naked anyhow from the first knowing David, but danced out all of his clothes. And so I don't know why the world has tricked us men that it is feminine to praise the Lord. When Asklin is a masculine entity that gave us praise. And if the first person in the house is supposed to be the head of the house, shouldn't the head of the house be praising the house for the house? I ain't moving nobody. I mean, if you're the head of the house, if you're covering your house, if you're supposed to be the blessing for your house, shouldn't you be leading the praise in your house? If you want your children to be better, if you want your children to prosper, if you want your children to know the Lord and the fear and the admonition of the Lord, shouldn't you be the first one to teach your children how to clap your hands, how to wave their hand? Why is it that men don't want to people began to speak in tongues. Now, my brothers and my sisters, there's so much confusion. I ain't got enough time because I know you got to get the Publix before everybody get the fried chicken. And Publix need to give me a cut, too, because every time I say Publix, it'd be 20 million y'all there. This speaking in tongues, and I don't have enough time to talk about speaking in tongues and deal with the theological aspects of speaking in tongues because some of y'all both Baptist folk don't even believe in it. But there is something of giving utterance to the Spirit that is not understood by human language. And that term is glossolalia. Say that with me. Glossolalia. Glossolalia. Glossolalia is a phenomenon in which people speak in languages unknown to them. One definition used by linguists is the fluid vocabulary of speech like syllables that lack any really comprehended meaning. In some cases, as part of religious practice, which is believed to be a divine language unknown to the speaker. Awarashia de la Sende. They're coming in a Hyundai. EKOC. Oh, that's Coke spelled backwards. I'm sorry. It's an example of one of the many variations of words that can exist when a person is experienced glossolalia. Now, glossolalia is the speaking in unknown language. When someone is caught up in the spirit and they say things again like you've heard before that you think are funny, that you think they have made up. But Paul also says that the Holy Spirit gives us utterance and makes utterance on our behalf that we cannot understand. And that does happen in the natural, and it also happens in the Bible, but not here in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 1 through 8 that I have just read, it is not the speaking of tongues that you think about when you think of a Pentecostal service where people are speaking in tongues. These are people who are speaking in their native language. And because everybody was praising God at the same time in their own language, it sounded like gibberish. And one of the greatest things that happened, I showed you, and I didn't want to bore you with the clip again, that when we were in Israel, we were in this chapel, and we began to sing Amazing Grace in English, and then there was a group from Russia that came back and sang Amazing Grace in Russian, but we didn't know now a word they said, but we knew the tune. And because we knew the tune and we knew the spirit of what they were saying, we understood they were singing Amazing Grace, even though we couldn't understand everything that they had said. And that sometimes in the spirit, you will just understand what is going on, not because you know everything that a person is going through, but in your spirit, you can discern what is happening in the supernatural. And so the Bible says that what happens is that the spirit descended upon them like hot fire. On their tongues. And because the Spirit descended upon their tongues like hot fire, the Bible says it had to open, or they had to open their mouths. I said, because the Spirit fell on their mouths like hot fire, it made them open up their mouths. I said, because the Holy Ghost fell on their mouths like hot fire, and made them open up their mouths. In other words, somebody took the fish right out the grease and gave you no wonder bread to put it on. Took it right out the grease and put it directly in your mouth. That's why when you go to McDonald's, they got a sign now that says that the coffee is hot. And be very careful before you drink it, because you ain't going to sue us again for scalding your mouth. And every time you eat something or drink something that is too hot, it makes you open up your mouth. And maybe that's what we need every Sunday here, is somebody cooking fish outside in the vestibule. And maybe that'll help me get a little amens, and maybe get you to open up your mouth and say, thank you, Lord, and hallelujah. Maybe we need somebody right here at the altar, Deacon Williams, come next Sunday with your fish pot and make some little hot fish up there, because when something gets hot on your mouth, you got to breathe, and because everything that had breath. If you woke up with breath in your body this morning, the Bible said you ought to give God the praise, because it's hot, 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 hot. Anybody feel the fire? caught up in my bowl. And the Bible says, because the fire descended from heaven on their mouths, it made them open up their mouths. Now there's some of us that don't have no problems. Open up our mouths. Some of us, and I ain't gonna call no names. And I ain't gonna point out nobody. Don't have no problem giving God the praise. Because they talk all the time anyway. Put me in E flat and let's ride on out. But there's some of y'all, we got to prompt you. We got to encourage you. We got to choreograph you. We got to remind you about how good God has been in your life. But I don't know about you on this Sunday morning. I don't need no preacher. I don't need no musician. I don't need no worship leader to remind me how good the Lord has been in my life. Every time I wake up, I got to tell the Lord thank you. Every time I see my beautiful kids, I got to tell the Lord thank you. Every time there's food on my table, I got to thank the Lord. Every time I'm in my right mind, I don't need nobody to brush my teeth. I don't need nobody to take me to the restroom. I don't need nobody to lead me and guide me. I know it was the Spirit of the Lord that got me up this morning. And every now and then, I got to lift my hand. I got to open up my mouth. You might not do it like I do it, but every now and then, you got to give God the praise. You got to say, thank you. Yeah. You for being good to me. Get a witness. Anybody got a praise in this house? Anybody got a praise on your lips? So let the redeemed. I said, let the redeemed love the Lord. Say so. When you say so, why don't you stop your neighbor who ain't said nothing yet? Put some hot grease in their mouth. Put a piece of fish right there and say, anybody got breath in their body? Anybody got breath in their body? When that breath comes out of your spirit, it's got to shake your vocal cords. And there's got to be some noise. There's got to be some noise. There's got to be some noise. The noise confused the devil. That's why he had to get out of the choir. Because he didn't like the heavenly sound. There's got to be some noise. The people of God have got to lift their voice and tell the world that the weight of the sinner still death, but the gift of God is eternal life. If you believe it, say yes. If you believe it, say yes. If you believe it, say yes. Yes. Not only makes you dance right, the Holy Ghost not only makes you shout right, but it'll make you walk right, it'll make you talk right, it'll make you act right.